This week, we're exploring some basic questions about nuclear weapons. The world has been struggling to contain the weapons' spread since the explosion at Hiroshima 60 years ago. In recent years, a new element has entered the picture: nuclear terrorism. Some experts believe nuclear terrorism is now the greatest danger to the United States, surpassing the threat from other nuclear powers. Here's NPR's Mike Schuster.
There's no firm consensus yet on this among nuclear weapons specialists, but an increasing number of experts who have been responsible for America's nuclear capabilities rate nuclear terrorism as the number one threat to the security of the United States. Siegfried Hecker is a former director of the Los Alamos National Laboratory.
Nuclear weapons in the hands of terrorists give us the greatest threat because, in the end, I believe that most terrorists cannot be deterred.
There's plenty of evidence that terrorists have tried to acquire nuclear weapons. Chechens have stolen nuclear materials and surveilled nuclear weapon sites in Russia. Documents from Afghanistan point to al-Qaeda's intense interest in acquiring nuclear weapons, and radical Islamic clerics have justified the use of nuclear weapons against the United States. As the threat has intensified, says former Georgia Senator Sam Nunn, now president of the Nuclear Threat Initiative, the priority should be to make the world's nuclear weapons and materials safe and secure.
We've got to have a world partnership that is dedicated to preventing nuclear terrorism. And the way to do that is to lock down the nuclear materials all over the globe and make sure that we have the kind of cooperation we need. I think we're in a race between cooperation and catastrophe, and we're not running nearly fast enough.
For more than 10 years, the primary way the United States has sought to secure vulnerable nuclear materials is a program with Senator Nunn's name on it, the Nunn-Lugar Program. Since 1994, the United States has been spending about $1 billion a year to secure the potentially vulnerable warheads and plutonium and uranium in Russia and the rest of the former Soviet Union. Senator Nunn says the program has been successful as far as it's gone.
One of the reasons we have not had the kind of disasters we could have had with terrorism and nuclear weapons so far is because of what we've done under the Nunn-Lugar program. I think most experts would acknowledge that.
But with all that money spent, not even half of Russia's nuclear sites have been protected, and the program has been interrupted regularly by arguments between the U.S. and Russia over marginal issues, such as which nation will assume liability for accidents that might happen in the implementation of the program. That's a spat that is slowing the process right now. Also, an entire class of nuclear weapons, thousands of them, have not come under the protections of the Nunn-Lugar program. These are smaller tactical nuclear weapons. Moscow won't let the U.S. see them or help secure them, notes John Hamry, president of the Center for Strategic and International Studies.
The weapons most easily stolen are the ones we're not allowed to help dismantle. These are by far more dangerous to them than to us. They've actually had nuclear incidents on their own soil by terrorists. Now, they were dirty bombs. They didn't go critical. But they've actually had it on their own soil.
One incident in Russia occurred in 1995 when Chechens left a container of cesium-137, a highly radioactive substance, in a crowded Moscow park. They told a Russian TV station where it was and boasted about their ability to construct a radiological bomb. A similar device was discovered in Chechnya 2 years later. The Nunn-Lugar program only applies to nations of the former Soviet Union, but there are considerable dangers elsewhere. Siegfried Hecker puts another nation at the top of his list of threats, Pakistan.
Pakistan has everything that concerns us. Pakistan has missiles, it has nuclear weapons, it has plutonium, it has highly enriched uranium. It has an unstable political climate with terrorists and some fundamentalists. They've tried to assassinate the president a couple of times in the past few years. And it has the world's greatest, or at least was the home of the world's greatest, nuclear marketeering in AQ Khan.
There is no American program comparable to Nunn-Lugar for Pakistan. In fact, the U.S. is prohibited by its adherence to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty from helping Pakistan in many ways, because Pakistan has not signed that treaty. So, unfortunately, many sources of nuclear warheads and materials around the world remain vulnerable to seizure by terrorists. If they get their hands on them, can terrorists be prevented from using these weapons? It is usually assumed that terrorists would try to smuggle a weapon into the U.S. and then detonate it. Retired General Larry Welch, former Chief of Staff of the Air Force, believes terrorists can be prevented from doing that.
As we raise the risk of failure, I think that has a deterrent effect on terrorists.
This is a controversial notion, that terrorists can be deterred. But General Welch argues if the U.S. can make it more likely that terrorists will fail, mostly through homeland security protections, they will be less likely to try. What about the possibility that nations might give terrorists nuclear weapons? Traditional deterrence, the threat of attack or even nuclear attack, should discourage those nations in General Welch's view.
Those nations you can deter both with the threat of retaliation and by raising the threat of failure. If they do that, they're taking quite high risks, and there has to be a fairly high probability that they're going to succeed before they're willing to take those risks.
This view is also controversial because some experts dismiss the possibility that states would share nuclear weapons with terrorists. Sir Michael Quinlan was a longtime senior defense ministry official in Great Britain. Theoretically, he believes the American nuclear arsenal is a deterrent in such a case.
It would have a part to play in deterring states which wanted to give nuclear weapons to terrorists, but I very much doubt whether any such states exist or are likely to exist in the real world.
More important in Scott Sagan's view is to rethink the overall nuclear posture of the two most powerful nuclear states, the U.S. and Russia, so as to minimize the threat of nuclear terrorism. Sagan is director of the Center for International Security and Cooperation at Stanford University.
When you think about the terrorist threat as the higher priority threat that we need to deal with, suddenly your judgments about a number of aspects of nuclear strategy need to be altered. And the U.S. government has not made that basic change in its assumptions.
That would include the size of the arsenal, the specific types of weapons in the arsenal, and how they are deployed. Sagan believes the U.S. and Russia have been excessively optimistic about the safety of deployed nuclear weapons.
If you think of an Al-Qaeda or another Chechen or another terrorist group trying to seize nuclear weapons, the last thing that we would want would be for Russia to maintain either ICBMs in silos or to have mobile missiles roaming around the countryside for the sake of deterrence against the United States, but making them vulnerable to a terrorist organization seizing them.
John Hamry, too, believes that the threat of nuclear terrorism should force new thinking about important aspects of nuclear weapons deployment and strategy beyond insecure plutonium and uranium.
It really does put high premium on reducing inventories of existing stocks of weapons, improving the positive control over those stocks that do exist by all nuclear weapon states, and then creating a much stronger international regime to deal with nuclear material.
That could be the job of the more than 180 nations that are now reviewing the value of the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty at the UN in New York. But they are bogged down over more narrow issues. Some nations want to focus all their criticism on the United States, and the U.S. wants the conference to focus almost solely on the cases of North Korea and Iran. By all reports, the conference is paralyzed. Mike Schuster, NPR News.
Tomorrow, our series on the perils of proliferation continues with this question: what makes countries go nuclear?